I should just go home now, right? I can't follow that. Our New Testament reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story of a triumphal entry of Jesus marching into Jerusalem as its true king and the true king of the entire world, and then proceeding to turn things sideways. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. In my sermon this morning, we can't put things back to the way they were. And that is a real hard thing to be saying right now, nearing the end of the pandemic, where we're just beginning to have this hope that we're going to be able to put things back to the way they were. So we're going to do this sort of in three stages. Stage one will be this desire to put things back the way they were in Jesus' time, and then we're going to talk about that sort of in a national sense for the United States, and then we're going to maybe zoom in and think a little bit about what that might look like here. So, Palm Sunday, the way things were that they would want to put things back to. Remember this, there was, back in the good old days of Israel, there was a son of David on the throne. Israel was free from outside powers and influences. It wasn't occupied by a foreign country. And there was just generally peace and safety for Israel. Maybe even in King Solomon's days, they said that Solomon, there was so much wealth that they made silver as common as pavement or something like that. So those were the good old days. Remember back when we weren't occupied, when everything was good. Maybe. The other thing about those good old days is there was an abusive monarchy. You remember the story of King David having a man basically killed so that he could take his wife. That wasn't okay. And the kind of peace that they had was by killing their enemies or taking the land from the Canaanites. It was a good time to be an Israelite, but not the best time to be a Canaanite. You took over the land by taking the land from other people. And the Israelites and the foreigners alike were enslaved or put to forced labor. You know this because it shows up in various places in the book of Kings and Chronicles. David and his sons had people who were in charge of the forced labor. So that was maybe not something that you would want to go back to, especially if you were one of those people who had your land taken from you, who were executed or had your family killed, or you were put to forced labor. It wasn't a great thing. It was a zero-sum victory. So we got to talk about zero-sum because maybe some of you know about this. Maybe some of you haven't heard of the zero-sum games. So we're going to go with that. Zero-sum. Zero-sum is like chess. For me to win, you have to lose. Or possibly like Monopoly. For me to win, everybody else has to lose and probably be so mad that they never want to speak to me again. Y'all play Monopoly? So Monopoly or chess, those are zero-sum games. One winner, one or more losers. Or like, what's those TV game show? Just any TV game show. for each person who wins, somebody else has to lose. It's another kind of game, though. Non-zero-sum games. Come on. Okay, there we go. Non-zero-sum games. For me to win, you have to win too. I brought this board game because I really enjoy it, and because, well, it's called Pandemic and we're in a pandemic. I swear the board game came out before COVID-19. I don't know if we've played it since then, but it's a really different kind of game than nearly every other game I've played. You play as, I guess, researchers or a team for the CDC who's going around the world and trying to stop four different strains of a pandemic. Got this little thing out here. It's a fun game. It's also upside down. I mean, it's really arbitrary whether this is upside down or not. Yeah, so you go around the world and you try to stop this disease. And much like in the real pandemic that we're living, you win together or you lose together. So there, you don't have one person who wins pandemic and three people who lose. All four people win or the pandemic wins. if you lose pandemic, everyone dies. Not literally as in a real pandemic, but, you know. Anyway, so it's a non-zero-sum game. If I win, everybody else who's playing also wins. Why are we talking about that? We're talking about that because ancient Israel and most of the world has at some point been in this zero-sum kind of game. Let's look at Jesus' time. So Rome's zero-sum goal, Rome stays in power, they extract taxes from Judea. Rome, plus one, Israel, minus one, sum, zero. Zero-sum game, get it? Okay, so that's Rome's zero-sum goal. Israel's zero-sum goal would be to have Jesus proclaimed king and the Romans defeated. Israel, plus one, Rome, minus one, sum, zero. Zero-sum, get it? Okay, going somewhere. God's goal is going to be different than this, is that it shows up all the way back in Genesis. God says to Abraham, through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Israel plus one, Rome plus one, sum, non-zero. Look at that. All the nations of the earth will be blessed. So if Jesus does what people are wanting him to do on Palm Sunday, which is ride into Jerusalem on the back of this donkey and then spark a revolution in which God supernaturally enables Israel to defeat all their enemies on every side, that's not going to work out. I think it's fascinating, though, that Jesus goes through all of that ceremony right up to the point where he's supposed to start this revolution. And it says in the passage you just read, Kim, it says, if I'm remembering correctly, he looked at everything and then went back to Bethany. That's fun. He looked at everything and just left. He did all the pomp and ceremony right up to that point because this is who he is. He is the rightful king of Israel, but he's not that kind of king. He's not going to win a zero-sum game. Where are we at? He's the end of a zero-sum game. See, Jesus didn't come to put things back the way they were. Jesus came to put things forward. He didn't come to put things back. He came to put things right. Jesus, he came to be the new king, and he has more power than anyone. And if anyone's going to win a zero-sum game, it's God, right? If you're going to play the, if God plays the zero-sum game, we lose every time. It's like me when I was a kid playing chess with my dad. Always lost. Like, always. It's like well into my teen years before I finally beat him once. But the person who came to be the new king, who had the most power of all, just gives his power away. and is executed. Because, of course, God's love is undefeatable, and Jesus knew that. So the most powerful, instead of exerting his power, like we saw in chapter in Philippians that we read, instead of exerting that power or regarding that equality with God as something to be exploited, he emptied himself. He gave his power away. Instead of exerting his power, he used it to serve. He shared his power with others. Remember, he says to the disciples, "What I'm doing, you will be able to do." Of course, people were obviously, surely they were disappointed because they were hoping for final triumph, an infinity win for Israel and an infinity loss for everyone else, zero sum. But it ended instead of that, in a shameful execution, in Jesus minus one, everybody else plus one. Except, of course, the resurrection happens. So instead of zero sum, it's Jesus wins, and by Jesus' victory, everyone else wins. Jesus' kingdom can never be defeated because when you execute Jesus, Jesus is raised from the dead and continues to love you. And the kingdom that Jesus started will never lose a zero-sum game because it's not playing a zero-sum game. As long as it obeys its prime directive, which is to love. Jesus coming in is just, it's almost anticlimactic, right? It's a bizarre story. You know the plot. He comes in. It's like a romantic comedy where the two leads don't get married at the end or where they just break up at the end. You're just like, wait, what? That's not how that's supposed to happen. Because Jesus didn't come back to put things back the way they were. I talked on my Wednesday midweek live stream about the Maccabees and how they came and entered Jerusalem with their palms after they had won this final climactic victory. But Jesus didn't come to put things back the way they were. He came to put things how they never were. He wasn't there for war or for conquest. He was there as the broker of more power than ever existed on the earth, coming to unilaterally surrender. Good Friday, Jesus is executed minus one, Rome plus one, some zero. But not really, because on Easter Sunday, Jesus is resurrected, Jesus plus one, and the entire world. I mean, maybe I should have put an infinity, who knows? Some more than zero. So, America, the way things were, we used to not have COVID. That was nice. Those were the good old days. We didn't have to wear masks. There was no lockdowns. You could gather in groups as large as you wanted. It was fantastic. I really miss that. I really do miss that. I think even introverts miss that. Like even like the far introverts miss that. But the other thing that we had rampant injustice based on race, sexual orientation, gender identity, based on class. There was, and still is, there's the rampant poverty and regular violence, mass incarceration. Like there's a laundry list of stuff that was wrong before we had this pandemic. Some people thought that everything was going to get better when Donald Trump was elected, and they were like, ah, thank goodness. But all the problems, or most of them, still existed at the end of his presidency, and they were like, yay, we're going to get Joe Biden, and he'll put things back to the way they were. And we don't want to put things back the way they were. They've got to go to the way they never were. Got to stop being zero sum, right? And then we go to our church, Fairplane. Again, we had no COVID. We could gather in person. We could sing without masks, and we could feel safe, right? It was good stuff. We could go out there in the in the courtyard room and share coffee hour, or not, and just hurry home. It was great. And I don't have a what was wrong with that slide. I'm just looking into where is God calling us to change and grow. And I don't have answers for that right now as far as what's that. But, I mean, obviously it wasn't magical or perfect. I mean, it feels like it was magical and perfect before that. But where might God be calling us to change and to grow as a church? Where might God be calling us and leading us to go, maybe everything wasn't perfect. Maybe we can lean in further to, well, there's no losers in this story. The only loser in the story is Jesus. He's defeated by Jews and Gentiles alike, and he wins everything for everyone. And the question is, how can we live into that? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that by your death, you conquered death. By losing a zero-sum game, you won not for yourself, but for the entire world. Help us to live into your resurrection. Hear where you're calling us, follow where you lead us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.